from the Premier League. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Time to look forward in FPL. We'll assess the best options up front, as well as all the big talking points ahead of Game Week 13. All that and more in this week's official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Yes, hello again, listener. Welcome back to your essential FPL Game Week 13 preview. Kelly Summers back with you this week alongside two men who used to play a bit and now chat a fair bit about both football and FPL. It's a very big hello to Sam Parkin.
Hi, Kelly.
And hello as well to Adrian Clark.
Hello, everyone. Hi.
And we also, drum roll please, have a debut on the pod. He may not have any proper football caps, but he more than makes up for it with FPL credentials. Currently an incredible 12,400th in the entire world. It's FPL show regular of FPL Black Box. It is Az Phillips. Az, welcome along.
Thank you very much. What a lovely introduction, Kelly.
Well, it's been a brilliant season for you so far, hasn't it? Just very quickly, before we look back on the last game week, tell us what has gone so right for you.
I'd love to be able to tell you that it's all down to my genius and everything brilliance, but I think there's been a fair element of luck to it. I've got on players like Foden before they've got, you know, big returns, players like Reece James I bought in, and Salah captain every week. It's just as simple as that, really. Just getting on players before they've hit their points and everyone's got them. Sometimes it can be so simple.
Well, hopefully you're going to tell us all of those players that we need to get on now to save our seasons. But before we go any further, let's recap what did happen during game week 12. What a game week it was. 36 goals from 10 matches. Watford ended Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's time at the wheel, thanks in part to Emmanuel Dennis, who got a huge 14 points. Ben Foster as well, with another goalkeeper assist. Two Trent Alexander-Arnold assists led to a 15-point return. That's his fifth double-digit haul in 10 appearances. That was during Liverpool 4, Arsenal 0. Sorry, Adrian. Top defenders keep hauling. Rudiger, Cancelo, James all getting double figures, whilst Reguilón also provided 9 points as we continue to monitor the Spurs assets under Antonio Conte. And Ben Chilwell also brought 9 points in, but proof you can never switch off in FPL. He then suffered an injury against Juventus in midweek, which does look like it could keep him sidelined for some time. Let's see how our panel got on last week then. Sam, let's start with you. A solid 63 points, but you do have Chilwell. He may have returned, but it does look set to be his last returns for a while, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would imagine so, given the nature of the injury. It was a better week for me, but I've had a bit of a fall from grace. I'd love to blame it on having a newborn in the house, but my focus has remained. I've just made two catastrophic captain picks. I did the Vardy instead of Salah when he got the hat-trick at Old Trafford. And this weekend, I just banked on Harry Kane, considering he scored 27 goals on international duty, doing the business in the Premier League. So I went for Harry Kane over Salah, which has meant that I've really tailed off in my mini leagues and something I won't be doing again.
Just telling the listeners, there was a collective wince from everyone on the panel then. Adrian, not such a good week for you either. 56 points, but you haven't been doing too badly. And actually, 7 of your 11 actually returned last week.
Yeah, I've been ticking over nicely. I think what's cost me in recent weeks is not having any of the sort of golden trio at the back of Cancelo, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Reece James. I made the mistake, and it's not a terrible mistake because they've been chipping away with points, but I've got Thiago Silva and Ruben Dias as my sort of consistent defenders. But the centre-halves, who I banked on scoring the odd goal from corners, but it's not enough when you compare it to what Cancelo, Trent and James are doing. So, yeah, I'm going to have to get around to fixing that, I think, to compete with the big boys.
Yeah, it has been a lot about defence this season, hasn't it? Now, Az, looking at your specific game week 12, 70 points for you. But what intrigued me most when I looked at your team was the fact you bought in Ronaldo last week and you captained him.
Yeah, I'm trying to... Ronaldo, Salah's such a, you know, perma-captain at the moment. I'm trying to find ways and weeks in which I can go a bit different and try and... Because I'm around sort of 10K at the moment. I want to push up into the top 1K and get around there. And with everyone going for Salah, you've got to be a little bit different to try and differentiate yourself. And I thought, you know, United versus Watford. Watford have been poor defensively. Surely the players are going to turn up and play for Solskjaer and try and keep him in the job. But it didn't look like they were, and they were all poor, and Ronaldo only got an assist. So it was the wrong decision. I could have just banked the transfer, captain Salah, but you know, you got to try it.
Yeah, well, I'll be interested to hear what you're planning on doing with Cristiano Ronaldo. We'll be talking a little bit more about Manchester United later in the podcast when we preview their fixture against Chelsea. Now, though, we're going to focus on our FPL Pod Mini League. A huge well done so far to the manager of Desert Gunners, Sani Siddiqui, who is top of the league on 910 points. Elegant 11 is managed by Richard Mango. He's risen up to second and he isn't too far behind the leader on 900 points. So it is set up very nicely at the top of the league. If you want to join in on the fun, the code is 1KIKS7. And hopefully over the next half an hour or so, we can help you climb that league as well. Let's kick the pod off with some forwards chat. This year in FPL, it's felt at times it's been all about the defenders and midfielders, with only four forwards scoring in game week 11. But game week 12 aptly saw 12 different forwards returning. However, the most owned forward in the game, Mikel Antonio, continued his poor record against Wolves with no goals in nine league games against them, meaning he now has just one goal in six Premier League matches in the last few weeks. In fact, his last score above eight was all the way back in game week three. He's currently the most transferred out player this game week, with Manchester City and Chelsea in their next three. Is that understandable, Az?
It is. I mean, he's been a bit unlucky, I think, in some of his previous games. I think West Ham in general were poor against Wolves, but he's had chances. I mean, he was through on goal a few weeks ago and kind of fell over his own feet, which was a bit disappointing for me, who having played him. I mean, looking at the league, though, there's only really City and Chelsea who I think he's going to struggle to score against. I mean, home game against Brighton, away at Burnley, and then into a really good run of fixtures from game week 18, where he plays Norwich, Southampton and Watford, kind of over the festive schedule. So I've got him. I'm going to be holding him. I think it's a case of if you've got him, you keep him. And if you don't have him, you probably wait until game week 18.
He scored in his last two starts against Manchester City. I'm not saying he's going to make it three in a row, but he's someone that's given City trouble at the back in recent games, and stats wise he's still up there, isn't he? He's the third most shots in the Premier League and he's got the third highest expected goals ratio. So at the price, and given that there aren't exactly that many forwards doing the business at the moment, I would definitely hold. No. But I wouldn't buy at this moment because of the fixtures.
Do we feel a little bit better about him as well, knowing that at the time of recording, David Moyes has said he's not travelled for the Europa League game, so he's going to get a bit of a rest? Do you think that will benefit him, Sam?
Yeah, I'd be optimistic had I kept hold of him last week, but he was the player that bit the dust so I could get Harry Kane in, who obviously didn't prove to produce anything for me. But yeah, I'd be really pleased if I still had Antonio and he was getting that rest. And I agree with the guys. I just think that there's a lot of expectancy on him this season to continue in the same vein that he showed the first few months of the season. And whether he's going to be able to maintain that, I doubted. That's why I've moved him on. And I think there's some great options, some slightly cheaper options, which we're going to come on to.
Yeah, there are some brilliant options. We actually asked this question on Twitter as well, at official FPL. And out of form, Mikel Antonio has one goal from six games with a trip to Man City up next. Will you be keeping or selling the West Ham forward? 51% said sell, 27.7% said keep other priorities, and 21.3% said keep. I have the faith. Thank you to everyone that answered our poll there. Let's talk about some of those other options then. Who do you think, Adrian, are the best replacements if you are looking to sell Mikel Antonio?
I'm looking at Christian Benteke this weekend. I think, well, he scored four goals from his last five games. He's on really, really good form at the moment. And I like Crystal Palace in general, to be honest. The fixtures are pretty good. He's only 6.3 million. Stats-wise, he's had more headed shots than anyone else in the Premier League, 12. So we know when they get the ball into the box, he's been deadly, hasn't he, throughout his career. But yeah, he's just in good nick at the moment. And this is a really interesting stat. The only strikers that have taken on more shots inside the box, they're the shots that really matter, of course, are Salah, Mane, Antonio, Ronaldo and Vardy. You might have heard of those guys. They're quite big names. And next comes Benteke. So he's a guy that gets into good positions to score goals. Palace under Vieira, I really like the way that they're going. And the fixtures are fine, as I said. So yeah, Benteke is a standout for me. And I'll let you into a little secret. I've brought him in already.
Over the last four games, he's had the highest expected goal involvement, non-penalty, of all players in the league. He's having a shot every 18.4 minutes. He's confident. You can tell just from the positioning he's taking, his celebrations. He's a man that Palace are really looking to unlock. We've seen Edouard sort of come out of the team or even shifted over to the left to accommodate him as well. So I think if you're making a straight swap for a striker, I think amazingly it's Benteke.
A shot every 18 minutes. Not even Sammy Parkin in his Swindon heyday was rattling him off that much, were you, mate?
It's incredible. The next highest, I think, is Josh King on 21.2. Salah's 24 minutes. Benteke is shooting on sight.
And that is exactly what we like, isn't it? Shooting on sight. And you mentioned Josh King there as he's interesting, isn't he? Because he didn't take Watford's twice taken penalty against Manchester United, but he did get on the score sheet. He got that hat trick against Everton the other week. A lot of people are looking at him. But people are also looking at Emmanuel Dennis at Watford. Who do you think is the best option there, if either?
Yeah, I mean, look at underlying stats. It's King, like I mentioned. I mean, he's having a shot every 21 minutes, which is second best in the league over the last four. Expecting goal involvement 93 minutes, so nearly an expected return every match he's played over those four. Dennis is some way down, 171.2 expected goal involvement, having a shot every 27.1 minutes. I mean, the thing with King is we've seen him in the past for Bournemouth. Like, you know, he's a player who scores regularly when he's in form. He's a brilliant FPL asset. And he's looks like he's kind of Watford's main man at the moment. So it's King for me. I think he's actually a really, really strong option. Watford look great going forward.
Just to settle the Watford penalty debate once and for all, Kelly, if people are thinking about going for King or Dennis, King's taken 12 penalties in the Premier League, scored 10. Dennis, as far as my research is concerned, has taken one penalty in a German cup competition in his career, and he missed. I would expect Josh King to be on penalties considering what happened at the weekend. And yeah, there's not much between them, I don't think, in terms of shots, but considering Dennis is often not playing as the centre forward, playing in one of the wide positions, King would be my man considering there's only 300 grand between them.
Yeah, interesting. Emmanuel Dennis, 5.3 million, nearly 10% owned, but Joshua King, 5.6 million and 4.1% owned at the time of recording. So King's a little bit more of a differential. There's a couple of forwards at Newcastle as well that might be catching the eye potentially now they're playing that more attacking brand of football as we saw in that thrilling game against Brentford. Should we be looking at either of Alan St-Maximin and Callum Wilson, do you think, Adrian?
There are options, aren't they? Eddie Howe's Newcastle are bound to be on the front foot more. So you would imagine they'll get more chances. And St-Maximin is a really high point scorer anyway. So yeah, you'd imagine moving forwards, he'll continue to rack them up. Callum Wilson, I think, is a really interesting option. If anything were to happen to Raul Jimenez, for me, for example, he would be a go-to in the same sort of price bracket, Callum Wilson. And his XG is right up there. I think 0.46 expected goals per 90. So basically, he's a 1-in-2 man. And that was under Steve Bruce, who was much more defensive than Howe. So, yeah, Callum Wilson, definitely interesting. I just love St-Maximin. I kind of want him in my team because he's just such a good player to watch. But, yeah, haven't quite got there yet.
Yeah, if we talk about ownership, I thought it was really interesting, actually. I think we mentioned this on the pod the other week. Alan St-Maximin owned by over 16% of managers. Callum Wilson owned by just over 3%. That could be because Callum Wilson is 0.6 million more expensive, but interesting as well, given the form that Wilson has shown when he goes on a run. And also another stat that's interesting from game week 12, Alan St-Maximin had 7 shots and Callum Wilson had 6 shots. They were actually amongst the highest shooters of game week 12. They've got Norwich at home and Burnley at home soon. Eddie Howe, of course, pledging attacking football for the fans of the Toon. Now, Adrian mentioned him there, Sam. What about Raul Jimenez? Because he's a bit more of a like-for-like swap in terms of price point for those managers selling Mikel Antonio. And he's ticking along quite nicely, isn't he now?
Yeah, he hasn't really looked back since he got that first goal after his injury. And I think had he stayed fit, we could be talking about a Champions League player now. I think someone would have probably taken him considering the impact that he's had at Wolves. So yeah, consistency is there. I've already got him. For me, I'm looking at one of those cheaper options to maybe enable getting a heftier price player back into my midfield. I wouldn't discount Pukki right now. And listen, Norwich are making the least chances in the division. They've got the worst XG, but of all the names we've mentioned, Pukki is the best finisher, in my opinion. He's 2-2. He's got a new manager. They've got two lovely fixtures against Wolves and Newcastle coming up. And they're so reliant on him. He's the man for me if Norwich are going to have an upturn in form. And at 5.8 million, it enables you to obviously move some bigger assets, some higher priced assets elsewhere in your team.
We talked about an upturn in form there for Teemu Pukki. How a lot of managers as are wishing for an upturn in form for Ivan Toney, owned by over 20% of managers. And he finally scored last weekend against Newcastle. Is this going to be the start of a run for him?
Oh, I hope so. I mean, there was a big fanfare, you know, when they came up. I mean, he got 30 plus goals in the Championship. We thought if he can get half that in the Premier League, it's going to be a great return for him. Looks like his role's kind of changed somewhat. He's a bit like Jimenez, actually, kind of like almost the chief creator of the side, rather than the guy who's, they're really looking to get in the penalty area and get all their goals for them. It was good to see him score against Newcastle. His underlying stats aren't great. He's not taking shots regularly enough. We might be a bit more reliant on assists, but it doesn't look like anyone else can really score. And Bomo keeps hitting the post and they're relying on Rico Henry to get forward and score. So I'm hoping so. I mean, Everton are the worst defensive side over the last four games. So I wouldn't be selling him ahead of this game, but I think long-term there's probably better options like Benteke.
Definitely don't sell ahead of the game against Everton. Just so defensive at the moment. Like, they're bound to have a lot of territory in the game, I think, Brentford, and he'll get chances. I was looking at Toney and his price point and the players that are cheaper than him. And there are three players cheaper than Toney that have more points. Dennis and King and Pukki. So we've mentioned all of those guys already. So if you think that Toney's maybe disappointed until this point, and that there's more to come from him, then I think it makes sense to keep hold of him because there aren't that many cheaper options delivering more often.
Interesting. All of those options, other than Raul Jimenez, are under 7 million as well. So pretty smart business if you can get them in your team. And isn't it nice to have some options up front at last? Time to move on now to fixtures. Game week 13 already, unlucky for some, but hopefully not for us FPL managers. It all kicks off at 12:30 UK time on Saturday, the 27th of November, meaning your deadline is 11 a.m. UK time. We kick off in the capital, Arsenal versus Newcastle, 3:30 p.m. including Liverpool, Southampton. At 5:30, it's Brighton versus Leeds. And it is then a bumper Sunday with 4:00 p.m. fixtures, Brentford, Everton and Leicester, Watford, Burnley, Spurs and Man City, West Ham. Then at 4:30 p.m. UK time, it is the big one, Chelsea versus Manchester United. Now, each week, we let our panel pick a fixture that takes their fancy and they give us the FPL lowdown. So take it away, Mr. Clark.
Well, it's a big game, Chelsea against Manchester United. It seems the right place to start, doesn't it? Chelsea defenders, obviously a hot property at the moment. They've only conceded 4 goals in 12 Premier League games. Remarkable, really. What do you do? I think with Chua's injury, the obvious one is to go for Alonso. He's bound to play for pretty much the remainder of the season. Shalabar, James, great options as well. I'm tempted, I can't this weekend, but to potentially triple up on Chelsea defenders or at least go double up on them. They're so reliable, aren't they? This fixture, if you look at the recent history, 2-0 last season between Chelsea and Manchester United. And I think looking at United in the Champions League, Michael Carrick will certainly be defence first in this one. He's not going to go out front foot and go toe-to-toe with Chelsea. I think he's going to look to keep things nice and tight in the game. So I think defensive options would be the way forward here. I have Cristiano Ronaldo in my team, and as do a lot of people. He had a really bad record against Chelsea. Just throwing this out there, just 1 goal in 15 appearances against Chelsea in all competitions. That was in the Champions League final in 2008. So it's a bit of a bogey team for him. So if you're considering swapping Ronaldo this week, might be the right time to do it. So I don't expect a high scoring game. If I had Chelsea defenders and I've got Thiago Silva, I would definitely be starting them in this one.
I would love to see United go after Chelsea in this game for a spectacle, for one. Manchester City, the only team that have really done it, and you see the success that they've had. And Clarkie's right, no goals in between the two teams last year. But if you go back a bit further, Chelsea have only beaten Manchester United three times in the last 12. No wins in the last six in the Premier League. And Manchester United have had success going to Stamford Bridge recently and having a go. So it might not be a weekend to be too hasty at taking your Manchester United assets out if they remain. The one Chelsea player that I'd have in my team above anyone else in the game at the moment is Reece James. I think he could be the best player in the country right now. Huge shout. And I'd accept the Liverpool fans coming for me and putting Salah down. But if you look at the numbers, it is incredible. I know four goals, four assists. He's third for expected assists behind the two Liverpool guys, Salah and Trent. But he is affecting every game with goals, with assists. The performances are such a high level right now. I think he has to be in your team, especially given Chilwell's injury.
He's not even the best fullback in the league right now.
He's the best centre midfielder in the league as well.
Yeah, it's a big shout. Look, Joao Cancelo might have something to say about that. I don't know, but given his form, but yeah, no, he's mustard, isn't he, at the moment? Absolute dynamo. I wish I had him, but it'll be interesting to see whether people now still go and get Reece James or whether they take the slightly cheaper option and go with Marcus Alonso if they're bringing in that Chelsea defender.
What's the best option for you, Az?
It's very hard to pick out of Cancelo, Trent and James, which is why I've got all three, which was definitely a good decision on the wild card.
That explains the rank.
It does. I don't normally invest so heavily in defence, but I just think this season you've got those three, which just offer such good value. And then you've got, Reguilon and Alonso. Like, you could easily play four or five at the back and it'd be kind of a valid option to do this year, which we haven't seen in previous seasons. To me, I think it's still Cancelo for me. I think if I was going to pick one of the three, I think it's him. You've just got that safety net of their defensive form is just so strong. It's so hard to score goals against them. And the biggest worry with him was rotation, which we're not seeing this season. So it's very close between them. I think I'd probably go Cancelo over the other two, but I think you could go for any of them and be pretty happy.
It's not a headache you have because you are a Reece James owner, as you've said. But if you did have Ben Chilwell, who do you think is the best replacement? Who would you be bringing in for him?
If I didn't have Cancelo, I'd be going for him. If I was picking between Reece James and Alonso, I'd be picking Reece James. I just think there's something about him this season, which is he's taking it to another level. And I think a lot of us knew that he kind of had that in him, but it was whether Tuchel trusted him enough and whether we'd see rotation between. We've seen Hudson-Odoi play there, Azpilicueta, Shalabar was playing well at the start of the season, but there's no way Reece James is getting dropped now. He just offers too much to the attack.
As someone that did that move last night, Ben Chilwell to Reece James, thank you for saying
that,
because
welcome.
I did think this morning, why didn't I go cheaper with Marcus Alonso? Because you can save a bit of money, of course. And very quickly, I wanted to know what you're going to do with Cristiano Ronaldo. As I said, you bought him in last week. That was obviously a long-term move.
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? You build me as the expert. Obviously, I'm always looking ahead. No, I'm going to correct that. I think almost instantly. I think it was a mistake. The issue is who to get. I mean, I was between Ronaldo and Kane. I wanted to give Kane one more week and see how he performed against Leeds. The first half was shocking from Spurs in general, but the second half, I think I saw enough from them to make me think that Kane is going to start hitting some form over the next couple of games, which looked really promising. He was up to a shot every 22 minutes, which is much more encouraging when you look at his previous numbers. And was just generally looking more like himself. So I'm going to back on him returning to form over the next three and probably move Ronaldo to Kane.
Proof that the best FPL managers even make mistakes, and that sometimes as a manager, you just have to admit you got it wrong, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it was always a risk with Chelsea in this game. I just don't think United have a chance of scoring in that. Chelsea's system is just so solid and their defence looks so good. I just can't see any way in which United can create anything in that game. And Kane's fixtures are better. So, yeah, straight switch.
Interesting. So Ronaldo in, then out for Az. What about you? What fixture are you looking at this week, Sam?
Crystal Palace against Aston Villa. Obviously, too much of a small sample size to judge Steven Gerrard's men on last week. I think they will improve and I think will be similar to what we've seen from Patrick Vieira's Palace in terms of the intensity, that the way they want to press the game. Palace, the fourth most pressures on opponents in the league. So I think he's really stamped his authority on this side. And it's so refreshing to have so many assets at Crystal Palace. I think for once, it's always just been Zaha or no one. Now Gallagher is an unbelievable pick, you know, 7 goal contributions for him, really fits into this system. I think the XG against, it was certainly, I think, better than Liverpool last week. I think they're third lowest, just Chelsea and Manchester City can better them, but they probably haven't got the clean sheets to show for that. So something to keep an eye on, but I wouldn't discount Gerhi. I mean, got his maiden goal last week. I think moving forward, especially for this game where I'd make Crystal Palace favourites. I think, you know, they've scored in the last 7 games, they're unbeaten at home, and nobody's taken fewer points than Villa away from home. So for me, Crystal Palace, the favourites. I think I'd hold off with Villa assets, mainly because are Ollie Watkins and Danny Ings going to be able to play together? I think that's a huge question. And yes, Ollie Watkins was brilliant in the Championship from the left-hand side, but he scored last week when he was played centrally. Danny Ings didn't muster a shot in that Brighton victory. And 4 of the 6 goals that those two have contributed so far have come with just one of them in the team rather than being paired together. So I think that's a big question mark about Villa now, and something that I'd have to hold off on. But Crystal Palace, 100% in on Gallagher. Gerhi, I think, is a maybe moving forward. And Clarkie's already made a brilliant case for Benteke, who faces the side where he had his best success. So for me, he's a hell of a shout this weekend.
As you were nodding along there in agreement, particularly when Sam was waxing lyrical about Crystal Palace and Conor Gallagher as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I didn't expect Vieira to have the impact that he's had. And I think everyone's impressed with how Crystal Palace are operating offensively and defensively. I mean, the 3 goals conceded against Burnley was a bit of an anomaly because they've been really solid at the back. I guess with their defence, it's hard to, they're not the sexiest options because you've got the likes of Cancelo and Trent and, you know, all these guys, you know, with such amazing attacking returns. But, you know, people who have gone for Guaita, for example, I think you're going to get clean sheets from them over the festive schedule because they are such a well-drilled and solid side. And then, like Sam says, you've got great options up front in Benteke, Zaha and Gallagher. I think Benteke and Gallagher, going for one of those, I think is a really, you know, good move for people.
Okay, well, finally, we're keeping the focus on London. The early kickoff on Saturday's caught your fancy, Az.
It has. It's a really interesting game. I think Arsenal at home are a different animal to how they are away from home. 4 out of 5 wins at home. Newcastle were bottom for all of the kind of offensive attacking underlying stats going into the game against Brentford. And looking at the goal threat of the game, they're actually top. You know, minutes per chance, 4.1, every 4 minutes, 4.1 minutes against Brentford, which is better than the likes of Liverpool, Watford, who scored all those goals, Crystal Palace, and that 3-all thriller. So the early signs, and it's a small sample size, are that Eddie Howe is playing this much more attacking brand of football that we kind of expected. I guess it's a case of Brentford have been a lot poorer defensively since Raya got injured. Can Newcastle keep on that attacking sort of impetus, or will Arsenal be able to you know, show some of that defensive resolve, which they've been showing at home lately? I fancy both teams to score in this. I think Smith Rowe is an interesting pick that a lot of people are going for. His underlying stats are really, really poor. He's not the kind of player who takes lots of shots and, you know, creates loads of chances and all that kind of thing. But he does have a knack of showing up at the right time and getting goals from, you know, kind of out of nothing. So he's the player that I've got in my side. I think he's probably the best option in the Arsenal side at the moment. I know Adrian likes a bit of a Aubameyang though.
Well, yeah, I just think if I could afford a Aubameyang, I'd bring him in this weekend because he's got a ridiculous record against Newcastle United. I think he's had 9 goal involvements in his last few games against them. 6 goals and 3 assists, I think he scored against them. He's contributed in each of his last 5 against Newcastle. So it's a favourite team. I agree with you though, Az. I think both teams could score here. I really do. You look at Newcastle stats. We think of Newcastle being not that exciting, right? But both teams have scored in 87% of their matches. They have 0 clean sheets, Newcastle. So I think you can bank on Arsenal scoring at least once. But Newcastle have only failed to score in 2 matches out of 12 this season, which then makes you think again, doesn't it, about your Wilsons, your Sam Maximans ahead of this game, and or maybe even a defender to come up and score from a set piece, because they're very good at that, aren't they, Newcastle? And Eddie Howe's teams, one thing I remember from his time at Bournemouth, they were always brilliant at corners and wide free kicks, always really inventive. So moving forward, I don't like to recommend a Newcastle defender particularly, but someone like Matt Ritchie is chalking up some points for assists this season, creating a lot of chances. He takes their set pieces. He might be someone to think about moving forward if you haven't got him already. But yeah, I think this is a game for goals.
Yeah, one more note on Callum Wilson. He was actually the biggest underachiever for expected goal involvement last week. So, you know, I think if you bought him in for that Brentford game and they score three goals, he's going to be pretty disappointed that he wasn't involved. But the signs are that he's going to be pretty soon.
Well, brilliant. My reminder again, your deadline is 11 a.m. on Saturday to get ready for all of those fixtures. Now, though, time to cast our eye further into the distance. It's Longview time. Nice and simple. We use a fixture difficulty rating, also available on PremierLeague.com. Let's take a look at who has the most favourable upcoming run. Now, Manchester City are still top of the FDR and they have the form to match as well. We've already heard Az say that he feels Cancelo is one of the best attacking fullbacks in the game. But let's talk attacking-wise, because last weekend was very frustrating, wasn't it, for Phil Foden owners. Off before the 60-minute mark, the dreaded one-pointer. He's passed the eye test on so many occasions, Az, but it's getting a bit frustrating. Is it fair to say, owning him?
It is getting a bit frustrating. I think I've got a bit more patience with him because I got the big haul from him, so I can kind of allow him a few blanks. But the trouble is when he's kind of pushed over to the left, I think that left spot for City is a bit of a curse. We saw Grealish play there and not really get the returns. We saw Foden move over there with Grealish out. I think with Sterling's sort of form, we might see him move back over to the left, and that might mean a false nine spot for Foden again, where we want to see him a bit more centrally. But yeah, I'm keeping the faith. I think he's, you know, he was a bit of an injury doubt going into the game, and I think a one-pointer was a real possibility anyway, whether he came off the bench or went off early. He's missed out in the Champions League, which I'm hoping is just a rest and a saving him for the weekend. But I don't think you want to be selling him right now. I think the only other option really that you could consider is Bernardo Silva, who's just been absolutely incredible for City this year. There was rumours he was going to be sold at the start of the season, and he's ended up being almost City's player of the season alongside Cancelo. So if you haven't got Foden and you're looking to, you know, tap into the Man City attack, I think it's Bernardo Silva that I'd go for.
Yeah, back-to-back goals for Bernardo Silva as well. I know a lot of people looking at him. Now, next up on the fixture difficulty rating are Leicester, Watford, Southampton, Villa, Newcastle, Spurs and Everton in their next six. But they haven't really got the form to match that, have they, Adrian?
They've been shocking. You can't trust Leicester at the moment. You really can't. They're so dodgy at the back. I would swerve defensive players, you know, 100% with Leicester. They just don't look like they're going to keep a clean sheet. Really, really edgy. And even going forward, who plays every week? It's only really Vardy. You've got a lot of rotation there with Lookman and Barnes and Madison, people like this. Tielemans is out injured, of course, now. Thackeray and Acho. It's take your pick, isn't it, around Vardy. And Vardy's become quite a streaky player, hasn't he, in the last couple of years. He goes on these unbelievable runs. And then just as people get him in their team, he then dries up and goes on these droughts. So many people have been stung. I was last season by a Vardy drought. So I would just avoid them, even though the fixtures are really, really good on paper. They're very unreliable right now. So there's no Leicester player I'd want to target to bring into my team, I'm afraid.
You're looking at a team at the other end of the fixture difficulty rating. West Ham United are fifth from bottom. We've already spoken about the Mikel Antonio conundrum and what to do. But actually, his form and Benrahma's form from an FPL point of view contradicts their team's good form. How are we feeling about West Ham at the moment in terms of FPL, Sam?
Oh, I'm quite content with my West Ham decision-making. I had Antonio and Benrahma early part of the season. I've moved both of them on and now I'm happy with that. I think, yeah, I'm not going to be as strong as Adrian, of course, because the results are still good as Adrian was on Leicester. But looking at the statistics, Jared Bowen as your fourth midfielder, really good shout. So from the stats, he's just behind Benteke and Salah, it would seem. Third most shots since game week five. And yeah, fifth most touches in the penalty area in the whole season. So he's still contributing. There is a lot of competition in those positions. The likes of Saar, who's had a pretty good season. And of course, Gallagher at Crystal Palace, a similar price range. But Bowen, you know, of those West Ham forward-thinking players would be my one for now. I'm not too hurried to get Benrahma or Antonio back into the mix.
Yeah, I've just sold Benrahma as well this weekend. I've just lost a little bit of faith in him. I think he's had a slight dip himself, and West Ham's fixtures are tough. So, yeah, a little bit like Leicester, I'm avoiding. But yeah, I wouldn't be as strong either on West Ham. Bowen's a good shout. Creswell is a very, very good option because of his set-piece prowess. I think West Ham will continue to score from plenty of corners and wide free kicks. So if I was going to have two West Ham players, it would be Creswell or Bowen right now.
Yeah, the next run of fixtures for West Ham: Manchester City, Brighton, Chelsea, Burnley, Arsenal, and then Norwich. Well, that wraps up the long view for this week. Now time to find out how our panel are preparing their teams for game week 13. Transfers and captains is where we always end the podcast. So firstly, let's quickly see what moves our panel are making. Adrian, you've already hinted at yours. What are the confirmed transfers you're making?
Yeah, I've done them. I saved up two. So I've got my two transfers for free this week. Benrahma's out. Adam Armstrong is out. Even though I like Adam Armstrong, the fixture's not so good.
I remember
good.
You waxing lyrical about him on the podcast a few weeks back.
Yeah, no, I like him. I really like him. But I like Benteke better at the moment with the fixtures and his form. Also, there's competition at Southampton with Brozier coming back to fitness and Che Adams. They're both good players. So I don't know whether Armstrong will play every single week. So they're out. Benteke's in, and a player we haven't mentioned so far on this podcast, Maxwell Cornet, is in. He's playing up front for Burnley, and he looks really sharp. He's scoring some unbelievable goals, which concerns me in one breath because you can't keep that up. But I think, well, if he can score those goals, he can score the easier ones too. So I'm backing Cornet as a really cheap, potentially fruitful option in midfield. So Cornet's coming in for Benrahma for me.
Yeah, I really like that move, actually. He's someone that I've been eyeing up as well. As is it just the Ronaldo move for you this week?
I think so. I'm pretty well set up elsewhere. I've got Ramsdale and Smith Rowe in place against Newcastle. I've got Mbeumo and Tony at home to Everton. I've got, you know, Reece James, Trent. There's not huge amounts of surgery that I need to do this week. Antonio's on my bench as well. So I'm not banking on him getting too much against City, but I'll be bringing him in against Brighton because I think he's going to cause untold devastation to our back line as a Brighton fan. I'm a bit worried about that match. But yeah, I think it'd just be Ronaldo to Kane for me, but then Salah captain to be boring.
Yeah, we'll talk about the captaincy a little bit more in a minute. What about you, Sam? What are you doing?
I'm tempted to go for the Mane-Salah double up. It was on my mind a few weeks ago, and considering the way I've plummeted, I've no longer got anything to lose, so I'm going to have to roll the dice. So to enable that to happen, it'll be Kane out for a cheaper forward, probably Josh King or Pukki, to free up the money in midfield, where it'll probably be your beloved Ismail Assar, Kelly, who has to bite the dust to make the funds available for Mane to come in.
Was it how scared you looked over that double penalty that sort of tipped you over the edge, Sam?
I was a dreadful dead ball shooter as well, so I have sympathy for Sarr. And he got me the goal, didn't he, last week? But I just fancy that Mane Salah at the moment. Nobody's doing it. And Mane scored in this fixture last year against Southampton. He should have had one again last night in the Champions League. Well, there was a marginal offside decision. And Salah has got a ridiculous record against Southampton. So this could be floodgates opening.
Selling Kane, Sam. Is that a good omen for me buying him?
Do you know what? As the way you've performed today, I nearly put the handbrake on there. I'll keep Harry Kane for a few more weeks because the Oracle has spoken. But yeah. Harry, unfortunately, the last couple of seasons, I'm so loyal to that boy, but he's let me down on a number of occasions and I can't forgive him for what he produced last weekend.
I was going to say, that was probably even worse because you did captain him last weekend. Are you going back to Salah? I've just heard Az say there, he's going to Salah this week. He was obviously burnt by not captaining him last week. Is it the same for you?
Hey, Kelly, I've still got the scars from triple captaining Harry Kane at the start of last season, home to Newcastle. Yeah. Home to Newcastle. Oh, Clarkie did it as well.
I think
the competitive edge between the two of us, you know, I'm keeping an eye on Clarkie's team and likewise. And I'm still burnt from that, but I'd probably go Salah this weekend. He's scored 7, 2 assists in his 8 appearances against Southampton. That's good enough for me.
Well, why don't you triple him up then, Sam?
Oh, what a shout that is.
Are the seeds in? The seeds planted now.
Just a bit of mind game, sorry.
Adrian, what about you? Now you've heard who your big rival is going to be captain, are you going to mirror that and go Salah as well?
Yeah, I am going to go for Salah. I'm a bit nervous of him having Salah and Mane moving forward. I've got to say, for me, look, I'm having quite a good season this year, but finishing above Sam is all that really matters. Like, it's nice to be in the higher echelons, but as long as I'm ahead of Sam, that's job done as far as I'm concerned. I've pressed the button on something else, Kelly. I've pressed the button on Bench Boost.
Wow.
Yeah, which is sort of...
He's dropped that in. You've tried to make that go unnoticed right at the end of the podcast. Why? What makes you so confident? Why is now the right time?
Because for the first time this season, I think all of my players, apart from the sub goalie, are likely to play. And they've all got quite favourable fixtures. So I've picked the team that I want to start. And on my bench is Corne, in form and at home to Spurs. Ben White at home to Newcastle. So even though I tipped up goals, there are strong chances of a clean sheet. And even Brandon Williams, bless him, at Norwich, who's my sort of cheap enabler, they're at home to Wolves and they've got the new manager. And it wouldn't be the shock of the century if they were to keep a clean sheet or he did something in the final third. So I'm going to go for it. I'm normally the type of FPL manager that has a strong 11 and absolutely no one on the bench for once. I've actually got strength there, so I'm going to use it.
You're going to have to triple captain to counter that, aren't you, Sam?
No. I'm going to wait for the old double game weeks, which I'm sure will come about. I've been pretty good with my... Well, I normally leave my chips back. You know, I'm quite patient in that regard. And probably to my detriment this season, my wild card should have gone a couple of weeks early. I held on to it. And by the time I played it, I was pretty much getting the team that everyone already had, if that makes sense. So I didn't make the best use of the wild card this time. But the triple captain will wait for the perfect time.
As is our FPL expert, what do you make of Adrian's bold move?
Well, I think Sam's right. The triple captain is definitely a double game week chip. The bench boost I find quite a frustrating one because you can sort of wait for a double game week, build your second wild card around it, you know, make loads of change to your team, use it, and then often get really disappointed with the results as players miss out, don't play both games, maybe don't perform, and then your whole squad structure is completely ruined. So I've been tempted a few times this season to play it in a single game week. I think with the bench Adrian's got, it's a very valid move, and then he hasn't got to worry about it later down the line. I mean, you're hoping to get around 20 points, I think, from your bench boost. That's a decent return. So if you think the players on your bench can achieve that, then go for it.
I'm not sure. I'll take 10.
Well, Adrian, the very best of luck with your bench boost. Sam and Az, the best of luck as well. Az, thank you so much for coming on. Will you come back again?
I'd love to, if you'll have me.
Brilliant. Great news. Thank you so much, guys. Enjoy game week 13. Do not forget to join our league listener, 1KIKS7. We'll be updating you all on the progress of our participants throughout the rest of the season. Also, a reminder to keep up to date with all the latest team news and everything else on FPL on fantasy.premierleague.com and on the Premier League app. Also, there'll be another podcast dropping for you on Monday, around Monday lunchtime. That one will be out ahead of the midweek fixtures, which make up game week 14. So do not forget to tune in for that. But for now, may game week 13 prove anything but unlucky for you. Bye-bye.